Hello, you're through to Sam and Steve. We will be at training all day today. Please call us or leave a message and we will call you tomorrow.
Two lesbians, probably. Sisters. I'm just watching.
Sometimes the complaints will be false. Get their attention.
Oh, David, you know, you're a brilliant singer-songwriter.
Very good.
Postage stamp is legal tender.
I think there's been a rape up there.
Hello, how are we doing? You alright, Steve?
I'm good.
Good.
Good. I can't believe we managed to make it to episode 4. But
yeah,
go on.
Still going. We haven't been censored or shut down by the man.
Not by the man.
How have you been? How's your week been?
It's been alright. Considering this is episode 4. Training. Legitimately, I've been on a training course today.
No one's going to believe that.
It's, I shit you not. Training course on the day we're doing the training pod.
What was your training?
It was a recruitment and unconscious bias.
Oh.
It was basically for interviewing people.
Nice. Did they teach you how to go? You've charmed me.
slightly, yeah. I'm not going to lie. There is actually some stuff I wanted to kind of discuss about it.
All right. You got a lot of notes.
Yeah, I made some notes after the training session today because I was sitting there and it was boring me to tears.
You didn't resign?
Not quite, no. I did ask the girl out next to me. Yeah, basically, I mean, we'll get into it in the episode. It's what the whole thing's based around. But what I noticed, there's always somebody overly enthusiastic. You'll have the trainer or coordinator, whatever you want to call them, and then someone will come in and you'll be like, oh, you're right. And they'll be like, oh, hi, oh, so glad to meet you. Oh, this is going to be amazing. And you see it later on in the episode with Tim. He clearly doesn't give a fuck. It's clearly
he's not interested.
Let's get this done. Let's get it out of the way, and then it's a tick box exercise.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how I was. I was happy to be there.
Well, you're cool, aren't you? Cool kid.
Yeah, well, I sat at the
sat
back.
Sat at the back.
I was turned around on my chair.
Blowing bubbles with your chewing gum.
Yeah.
Swinging on your chair. We all know.
But these people that are sort of, they come in over enthusiastic. They seemingly have a point about everything. So an hour session lasts for an hour and 45 minutes because they've always got
talking.
A point.
Yeah,
it drives me nuts. And the train.
Whereas you just wanted to go out and like chat up some birds and you know have a smoke or something.
Yeah, just put my leather jacket on. the trainers, they always seem to want to equate the session to something much greater than it actually is. So today we had a recruitment and selection training, as well as the unconscious bias. And we were being told it's very much a vital skill in life and we use it every day. And I'm thinking, we're learning not to employ a div kid. This isn't a deep philosophical conundrum.
Isn't that unconscious bias? Hang on, how can you be entrained on your unconscious? What kind of setup is that?
She's the one making bunts.
She's mugging you all up.
Yeah, and she's... I had a bit of a nightmare because she was mentioning... as they all do, buzzwords and metaphors and all sorts. And basically, she started saying about information governance, and it's a bit like a diet. You can have some, but you can't have all of it, which is a load of bollocks anyway, whatever. But the moment she said diet, subconsciously, I turned to look at a fat woman just at the time that she... Oh. We kind of caught eyes across the room when she said diet, and I just saw the...
Did you do that? Oh no.
I felt awful. I could see the dismay in her eyes.
She knew.
But she was hungry, you know. She had eaten between snacks.
Did she sort of wake up with the word diet? Like, what? Throw a hand in the air.
To be fair, it's better than some of the previous courses I've been on. I had a management... away day last year and
away day
and it was full of puzzles and Play-Doh and all sorts of shit.
Sounds good.
Well, if you're a paedophile. It was terrible. asking people to play with a puzzle and then see if they can find a better way to do it. It's a puzzle. it was terrible.
They love it though, don't they? The people who put these things together, that they're connecting on a different level, and they've all got the brand new ideas. Yeah, it's all new ideas.
I think just from today, I can certainly feel the pain that they went through in this episode.
Oh, massively.
Quite a good experience and quite a good practice, I suppose.
It sounds like it went well. Sounds like I should be charging for some sort of therapy for this. If there's anything else you want to get off your chest, then...
For another episode, one at a time.
I think that's fair. I think that's a good point. We'll save the listeners from your troubles. In other news, I've learned that Big Macs now come with bacon.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not a Big Mac kind of
guy. Mine
isn't
as deep and philosophical as your week. I've just learned that McDonald's have gone, fuck, what are we going to do? And some genius has gone, I know, lads, right, chuck some bacon in that.
I can't wait for the Daily Mail to start kicking off when certain McDonald's don't do it because of certain reasons.
So,
and I can't wait for
which won't be true anyway.
The Daily Mail comment section to explode.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it'd be funny, something else to laugh at, something else for people to whinge about, isn't it?
Brexit Britain, that's where we live now.
Bacon Britain. So we've got Lee and Dawn having a bit of a row at the start of the episode.
Having a Barney. I wonder what it's about. We don't really ever properly out, do we?
You hear what you said about she's changing her mind, and he says that it's something that she always does, or it's not him. So I wonder if she's taken a sort of a minute to think about the actual engagement.
Well, he sold her the dream last week with the life that they were going to lead.
Get a few kids under her belt.
A few nippers and...
get a little cleaning job.
I mean, it's every woman's fantasy.
Only certain people can live that life. Well, the lucky ones.
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, maybe this is the end. The whole Tim and Dawn has been bubbling under the surface. And yeah, maybe it's reached a point where she's sort of started to hit back a bit.
Well, you'd hope so, because he's clearly a prick.
What, Lee?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Tim.
Nah, Tim's a legend.
Yeah, we like Tim. Yeah, Tim's good. Everyone's rooting for Tim.
The thing I like about this little scene is you've got the Gareth, his little talking head, and he starts saying about long-term marriage, which is always a great line, as opposed to the short-term marriage.
I do prefer the long-term ones.
Yeah, they're generally better. And then saying that the sex life, it suffers in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So you've got to find new and erotic ways to spice things
spice
up. I think we all know that's true. You know.
Knowing our wives both listen.
I've been married for nearly 4 years now. Sometimes I think the blackface is unnecessary. But you know, you do what you got to do.
Well, if it's what she wants, that's what she wants. sorry, Liz.
Now we go into the bit where we see Brent getting all excited about something else. We see another one of his passions where he seems to think that not only is he a great boss, motivator, entertainer, that he's now a great trainer as well.
Well, this plays right into his hands, doesn't it? This is everything that he thinks he is, the kind of leader or extraordinaire, and now he's going to be the philosopher that can open minds and make people see whatever they're doing, paper merchants, and bring a new spin onto that.
Yeah, absolutely. He likes the fact that it's kind of an open floor for him. He's got people in a confined space that are mandatory bound to be there and they can't go anywhere.
He's the guy that you were annoyed about, isn't he? The one he's always got a point on everything.
Yeah.
And wants to be head of the class.
You can see that later on. You know, the way that he talks over poor Rowan.
Rowan, God rest his soul. He's not dead.
Well, the interesting thing about this is when Rowan says that he's got an MBA at Bradford, and Brent says, I'm trained in it as well.
Trained in it as well.
I do wonder what training he's actually got.
Yeah, he doesn't clarify that.
No, because I reckon it's at best one of these little courses you can get online that you pay like £20 you print off a certificate that says you're a life coach or something.
I reckon it's just one of the made up ones. Yeah, I'm trained in that as well. You know, the things you list on your CV.
Yeah.
First aid.
Yeah. I'd never do that on my CV.
Computers. done some charity work. Yeah, I volunteer on some voluntary board organisations.
I definitely did that 3 years in Sierra Leone.
Just list them down. And when you get asked about it, just go, yeah, it was great. Yeah, I learned a lot. I really found myself.
All you got to do is just face it up. That's what CVs are. They're not even about the qualifications and skills. They're just how big your bollocks are. How big are you prepared to go with
how far back do you go on your CV now? Have you? Well, probably haven't done one for a while, but do you chuck like your GCSE results on there? Duke of Edinburgh?
Yeah, bike proficiency.
I was head of my house in year 8.
Yeah, of course.
Cycling proficiency. Brilliant.
It's got to be done. I once picked up a rubber brick from the swimming pool floor.
10 metre badge.
Get them all on.
Absolutely.
No, I can only go so far back, mate. All those qualifications.
Yeah, it's only 2 pages now, isn't it? Oh, here we go then. So Tim is seizing the opportunity. He's kind of playing the friend card, but getting a bit close to Dawn to give her some comfort. It's kind of the standard, isn't it? If you see the bird you likes, bit upset, falling out with a boyfriend, you give it the standard. Oh, no, you guys, you're meant to be together. You know, I can see it. But
deep down,
if you're not, then I'll marry you. Yeah, is basically what standard. He
said. He's trying to work your way in there, but not doing it so obviously.
Nowadays, I think they call it friend zone, don't they, if you get too far into that space.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he wouldn't...
That's what the kids are saying.
He wouldn't be sending her a dick pic at the same time. it's a real shame that you're broken up. Why don't you have a look at this?
I mean, I don't really know what happens with that anymore. Well,
neither do I.
Moving on. Tim's... Tim. It's kind of a theme, I guess, for the episode, isn't it, a little bit?
Yeah.
He's kind of trying to... maybe make that move. He might see his opportunity.
Gets a little bit bolder, doesn't he? I think the fact that he saw Lee and Dawn having a row and knew about it, it's kind of piqued his curiosity. And
piqued his curiosity, yeah.
But he's all over it. But
it's a bit playground. It's kind of like basically you have a row, that's it.
Yeah.
Game over. But no more relationship.
The good thing about it is that even if no one else fancies her, you know. Dawn's still got Monkey Allen to fall back on.
Monkey Allen's there, waiting in the wings.
All right, mate.
What's going on?
Nothing, it's fine.
You upset? About Lee's. Hey, don't worry, right? Because you know Monkey Allen down in the warehouse, he fancies you even if no one else does, so...
So there we've got Gareth being as sensitive as ever.
Yeah.
Just like in the previous episode, talking about Brent's dad getting a headshot from a Japanese sniper.
Just doesn't quite get it, does he? A bit socially awkward, you can tell.
The way he just says, you just can't say anything when they're like that, can you?
When they're like that, no.
He just doesn't get it at all, bless him.
It's, it's a strange one, really, because he's kind of looks like probably the most intelligent of the other staff underneath Brent, but... I guess it's intelligent in another way. He's not not socially with it, I don't think.
You know, the thing is, I think he's genuinely trying to be nice, isn't he? He's not doing it in a malicious way, but he just hasn't got a clue.
Just doesn't know what he's saying.
And then after that, we start to get into the real meat of the episode. We get introduced to the Rowan and David and actually start taking the session.
Yeah, Rowan tries to take it and David sort of tries to take it off him a little bit.
He's constantly interjecting and you see the relationship between them kind of deteriorate as the episode goes on.
Yeah,
he's quite tolerant.
He's taking Brent's suggestions, dealing with his basically one-upmanship of, I've trained in that as well. I've done that.
Yeah.
I could do this, but it's best to get you in. Yeah, you can tell that he's going to be a pain all day.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the different stages of grief that he goes through.
It's grief as well.
And they finally pull out an old 80s cheesy
training video.
Which is always a good one.
Yeah, I used to like starting with a video.
Thank you.
What do you reckon to the video then?
It's.
Is it as good as your session?
No. Oh God, no. But no. in all seriousness.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it seriously, please.
It is very stereotypical of what those sort of videos are. It encompasses exactly. It's cheesy. It's over the top. It's theatrical. It's bollocks.
Can you imagine having to like do one of them, act in it, play the role play stuff?
Be absolutely awful.
I wonder what sort of money they get for that. I always wonder that about like radio adverts. How much money they pick
voiceovers.
Up? Voiceovers. Yeah, for doing just talking nonsense.
Get some sweet bunts for voiceovers. I guarantee that's what.
If anyone's listening, my sweet sweet tones, then you know I am available.
No one's going to want my voice, but yeah.
Yeah, I could have probably told you that, but
it, yeah. It's one of those things, they get paid bunts. And the thing is, you're there in a recording studio, you could be there in your pyjamas, who gives a fuck? You haven't got to go on set, you haven't got to be told by a load of people what to do. Go in, read a line, bosh.
Yeah.
£300 for 15 minutes.
You seem to know quite a lot about it.
It's my murky past as a voiceover artist.
Oh yeah, interesting.
Yeah, when he's talking about the burning £300...
You better not be.
That's not real money.
Yeah, it's illegal.
And then we start hearing about the facts of it's illegal to destroy or burn anything containing the Queen's image of the realm.
Again, it's typical Brent. He's just, I know more than the training video now. That's not real money.
I love that he has to get the realm in there, though.
The realm.
That's not real money. Do you know why?
Because he'd be mad to burn it.
No, because it's illegal to destroy or burn anything containing the Queen's image of the realm.
Now he mentions about, later on, about stamps.
Stamps,
being
legal tender. It basically kicks off a whole debate about legal tender and the realm. And
do you know what? I looked into this.
Of course you did.
Unfortunately, it's factually incorrect.
Ah, no way.
No institution is duty-bound to accept stamps. They can choose to accept them if they wish, but there's no legal recourse if someone doesn't take your stamps.
Well, I think that's public information. That's a service. If people were going to use stamps.
Informative. Don't try and get on the bus with them, guys. Unless it's a very understanding bus driver, you're walking.
He'll be walking home, while you're walking home.
Or get in a cab if you've got enough stamps.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that, though. Our information's come true, though. The Beast from the East is on its way, isn't it? We said that a couple of weeks ago.
Mystic Steve.
Yeah. Well.
Well.
Mystic Steve or I Can Read a Weather Forecast Steve.
Yeah, both. How'd you know I didn't tell them? Prove it.
No.
So can you set fire to a postage stamp?
No. In fact, a postage stamp is legal tender. A bus driver would have to accept that.
So then we get into the role play element of the day.
Role play, we spoke about it. It's everyone's most hated part.
It's a nightmare, isn't it?
Although not everyone. Brent has done it before. He's very good at it.
Yeah, probably should let him take over, really. It's one of them where we can start to see the unravelling of the pair of them.
Yeah.
Between Rowan and David, because, as we'll hear in a minute, it goes downhill quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's probably the most kind of used clip or one of the most favourite quotes from the series.
Oh, sure.
And it's all basically Brent trying to get one over on him. And to be fair, he is very good at it.
Yeah.
Phased him.
He's very, very convincing. And to be fair, you'd have to listen to his point, wouldn't you?
what would you say to that?
Exactly. He has phased him. He's obviously more experienced.
I'd like to make a complaint, please.
Don't care.
Well, I am staying in the hotel.
I don't care, it's not my shift.
Well, you're an ambassador for the hotel.
I don't care.
I think you'll care when I tell you what the complaint is. I think there's been a rape up there.
Get their attention. He's
certainly got that.
Yeah. He's kind of coming at it from the wrong angle, though. It's a customer service day, and he's telling you how to make the complaint.
But
phased him, got in his head.
That's Brent for you.
Psyched him out. I wonder how you would deal with that complaint, though. You ever had anything like that? Have you ever worked frontline customer service?
Not really.
You're one of those back office bods, aren't you, that's not allowed to talk to people in case you offend them.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't let me talk to people.
Yeah. Yeah, just let Steve, you just put some numbers in this spreadsheet and put that fucking phone down.
A phone? They don't let me near a phone. Just be joking.
Oh, man. It's, again, we see the relationship, don't we, now? It's, I don't think Rowan's ever dealt with anything like this before. And you can see he's a bit worried already.
Yeah, well, if someone's shouting rape at you, it's going to ring him some alarm bells, isn't it?
On a little nice, light-hearted customer service training day, certainly.
Yeah, he's expecting my shower's not clean, and he's ended up with rape.
Yeah.
But then again, like Brent says, he's got his attention.
Absolutely.
But we see when they switch over, because Brent has phased him, you know, he's going to take over. And then he phases him all over again in a completely different way.
Mugs him off again.
You got to give it to him.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Sometimes the complaints will be false.
We're taking a bit of a break now. Do you want to have a kettle over a pub?
Yeah, let's do it.
He's thrown a kettle over a pub. What have you done?
So this week's kettle over a pub, had an email to our outofofficepodcast@gmail.com from Danny Palmer from Warsaw.
Warsaw.
Thanks, Danny. Right. Personally, I think this is a cracker.
Good.
So Danny says, while working at the RAC, I was on a floor with toilets, and as a big lad...
A big lad.
As a big lad that can deliver what can only be described as monster logs, I blocked one of the toilets and saw the comedy as people debated who it could be.
Why is everyone so desperate to send us toilet stuff?
I think we've brought this on ourselves, yeah. To be honest.
We've attracted a certain email.
Yeah, for sure. I grew more confident and set out to my goal. To block all four cubicles within a week. This was not going to be easy, but I had a plan to eat a lot of meat and also get a fair share of fibre.
Good, strong.
After blocking two in 2 days, I had to start being creative and pretend to use my phone while actually going to the toilet. The phone excuse was a great alibi for the inevitable inquest that followed. Day 3 was a doddle, but day 4, nothing. I started to worry it could all be in vain, and the pressure rose on the Friday. Just one day, one toilet. One poo. It came later than usual, but just before home time, I managed the fourth. The weekend was great, knowing I'd come back to more investigations, only to find a sign on the door reading, "If you block the toilet, please attempt to clear," and a new instrument attempt. That looked like a poker. I'd broken the cleaners. Success.
What a read.
Which I think is absolutely incredible. It's not necessarily the most creative of... achievements, but four toilets,
4 days.
Yeah, fair play to him.
I think the story itself is great, but the way he's told it in the email, that's it's gripping.
Yeah, we don't mind your little stories. You can just let us know that you did something amazing, or like Danny said there, you can get it into a nice neat little package, so to speak. But it had me thinking. I mean, it goes back to, I think, was it our very first episode with Ben and the PP?
The PP. The Pee-Poo. Yeah.
I was thinking, when was the last time you enjoyed a PP?
I try and go daily.
Really? Fair play.
Often, it depends where I am. I do quite a lot of work out and about on the road. So if I'm in the home comforts of my office, then yeah, I'll try and go every day. We did have some feedback and some emails on the Pee-Poo. I think one we had from a lady called Julie said that basically her colleague can go out, do the shopping, get lunch, maybe have a little look around town, and come back all before one of their other colleagues has kind of been in and out on the paid poo. So
nice,
she can relate from
racking up some nice bunts there whilst doing what you need to.
Absolutely,
fair play. But it got me thinking. It's going to be difficult because I know that my brother-in-law listens to this. But at my new job, there were probably about 3 or 4 months ago, the wife had a bit of tummy trouble. We're not going to go into any more of that. And then a couple of days later, I was at work and I was thinking, oh, my stomach's feeling a bit dodge. And I'm on a corridor where there's 5 cubicles, 4 of them are women. One for men.
Sexist.
But I thought, I can't be that guy. It's quite a busy corridor. I don't want to be that guy that is blatantly coming out of the one men's cubicle. You know what I mean? especially being you. So it kind of all day, kind of fighting it off, holding it back and thinking, it's fine, I'll get home and I'll do what I need to do. And then it got towards the end of the day and I was really struggling. I was sweating. It was becoming a bit of a hassle. Trying to say bye to my boss, couldn't see her anywhere. I had to just shout out, I'm going, bye.
going where?
And then I'm on the fourth floor of our building, but luckily there's a men's toilets in the basement, five floors below. So I thought, I can't wait for the lift. So it was a case of running as quickly as I could whilst also trying to look natural down these stairs, knowing the inevitable was coming.
The old tippy toes.
Yeah. Kicked the door off the hinges as I went in.
Off the hinges.
Almost broke my belt trying to get it off. And yeah, just about got there in time. And I mean literally millimetres. Hovering above this bowl in this horrible basement toilet.
I think everyone can relate to the sort of the near miss or just about in time getting there.
It was,
everyone's had one of those.
It was what I think it's widely known as touching cloth.
Turtle
in. But touching cloth when it's a poorly poo isn't great.
It's another pee pee.
So yeah. So I suppose in essence I shat myself at work. But luckily, I didn't get it on my suit. I like to freshen things up every now and then. I like to get a new suit. I hadn't had this one for long, and that was one of my big worries. But that being said...
I think it's normally the first question the tailor asks, isn't it? When you come in. Morning, Steve. Shut yourself again.
Shut the bed. I've done that for weeks. But, yeah, so it was a case I had two options. It was throw the pants away, poke me into the bin, or the second option, which I chose, which was to basically create an adult nappy with toilet tissue, creating a barrier. because of course, I still had to train journey home.
Oh, the train.
And, I mean, I was kind of certain that I'd got most out, but I didn't want to be shitting myself on the train. So with my kind of made adult nappy, managed to get myself home, and then the pants were duly disposed of humanely.
Yeah. Oh dear.
But yeah, I just felt like I needed to get that off my chest.
No, I think again it's back to the therapy. And I said everyone's had one of those. I don't think everyone's shat themselves at work.
Yeah, well, if you have shat yourself at work, get in touch. Let us know.
Yeah, send your emails to I shat myself at work.
But get in touch. Out of office pod _.
Get in touch. Yeah, I shat myself at work.
You know you want to, guys. Don't leave me hanging.
This could be my favourite one.
Very good, very good.
Lee comes in and asks to have a word with Dawn for a minute.
Yeah,
goes outside.
He's not bothered about the very important session.
No,
interrupts. Although to be fair, their life is obviously much more important.
Well, absolutely. Fair play. Yeah, do go into the talking head with Dawn, and we learn a bit more about their past relationship and the way that Lee proposed to Dawn.
Doesn't seem all that rosy, does it, really?
No, I mean, it we've already seen a few bits of Lee that kind of, you get the measure of the man. But, it's not unsurprising that he would do it in such a shit way. But, yeah, that's up to each their own, I guess.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it was sort of the time, of the era, that kind of... set up really where sort of manly man works in warehouse, has, you know, relationship with woman who doesn't really have any aspiration. And it's kind of, yeah, you're just going to have some kids and then we're just going to exist. There's not really a dream there. It's
1950s life, yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Man goes to work, woman stays home with the kids or does a crap job.
Definitely. And Dawn sort of kind of seems like she's accepted it reluctantly, but maybe this is the start of her realising that there's something else maybe for her.
We don't accept that on this podcast.
No, absolutely. I've always said that.
I've always said that as well, so...
Well, we've done this before. We've both always said it.
He proposed on a Valentine's Day, although he didn't do it face-to-face. He did it in one of the little Valentine's message bits in the paper. I think he had to pay for it by the word because it just said, Lee Love Dawn marriage, ? Which, you know, I like because... It's not often you get something that's both romantic and thrifty.
Following on from this, I've got a quiz question for you.
Okay, another quiz. Another day, another quiz.
Basically, I called my local paper and I asked them how much it would be to place an advert the same as Lee did for Dawn.
I bet they were buzzing for that, weren't they? Does anyone place adverts in papers anymore?
Well... They basically said...
Snapped your hands off.
The smallest message I could place was 25 words.
Right.
So it'd have loads spare for Lee, obviously. but I want to know, how much does it cost to post a 25-word, with a picture, by the way.
Oh, okay.
With a picture, in a local advertiser. Is it A, £12.30? Is it B, £48.30? Or is it C, £68.30?
68 quid, fucking hell. Well, what kind of circulation has it got?
I don't fucking know.
They should be selling you this stuff. Yeah, we reach this many people on this much time. How long is the advert for?
I called them. Just... They're not trying to sell me anything.
That's why you're not allowed a phone in your office. I don't think it's going to be that much. One, local papers are rubbish. No offence. I'm going to go with is it 15 quid? 16 quid?
£12.30.
Is that what it was?
Mm.
That's the answer, or
what
I said?
No, that's what...
That's what the option was.
Yeah.
What are the options again?
I'm not even going to say it. A, £12.30. B, £48.30. C, £68.30.
Oh, there's no way it's 50 quid, surely. Yeah, I'm going to go 12 quid. Yeah. £12.30.
It's £48.30. It's not surprising he did it by the word, is it?
Yeah, I mean...
You know.
Well, that's an interesting one. I mean, I don't know how many people are reading papers anymore. I guess unless you're advertising for pensions or... I don't know. Well, that's all people have. Like, you know, there's pens and collectible coins.
Coffins.
yeah, then unless you're... selling adverts for that, I can't see any return on that one.
On a side note, I thought I'd look into a bit more information. So that's a proposal. A lot of proposals, they involve an engagement ring. So
a lot of them do, yeah.
Well, this maybe didn't. No, you don't hear not. Of a ring, do you?
No, true.
Take
it back.
So this costs £48.30. Let's go with that. We'll give him... Inflation and all that, you know, we'll give him yeah. that. The average wedding ring is £575.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, I think the stat I saw said something like 40% of men spend between 1,000 and 5 grand or something like that.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
But yeah, so either way, he's
quitted, isn't he?
He's making money on that.
Yeah. Well, like she said, you know, it's not often you get a proposal that is both romantic and thrifty. Although
it's every woman's dream.
Not that thrifty. 50 quid.
Yeah, still. I mean, in fact, she needs to...
You need to pipe down, I think.
She wants to be more grateful. He's taken the time to write 4 lovely words.
Yeah. I don't know if they did him a deal, maybe, on 4 words. But
it wouldn't surprise me. He seems like the sort of geezer that would ask...
Yeah, I reckon. It won't be worth it at those prices.
Ridiculous, isn't it? good for you. I'm glad that I've already asked my wife to marry me.
How did you do it?
On the beach in Sri Lanka at sunset.
Oh, interesting. But
it's not the Bromsgrove Advertiser, is it?
Other local papers are available.
Then we have Dawn coming back in, looking a little bit Dawn upset. Is,
yeah, Storm back in.
Yeah. Rowan asks Gareth the immortal question. What's your ultimate fantasy?
Ultimate fantasy.
Gareth, quick trust exercise, ultimate fantasy.
Hmm? We're just doing the ultimate fantasy, just we're all doing it.
Two lesbians, probably. Sisters. I'm just watching.
To be fair, he's been stitched up because he didn't hear the context and he's been asked what his ultimate fantasy is. You probably would answer the way that he did, but maybe not in a training day.
Well, if you're that way inclined.
Well, they did say it was a trust exercise.
Yeah, true.
So,
what would your ultimate fantasy be?
Two lesbians, probably. Sisters. it depends. I mean, there's fantasies for different fantasies for different needs. Without being too cliche. Yeah, obviously house, car, wife, etc. Job. Ooh. You know.
Mrs. isn't going to listen to this, is she?
Oh, well, she knows. We're tight.
Fair enough.
Cut it out. She's not listening.
Anyway.
Moving on. Swiftly. Please.
We see them next doing their motivational task.
Yeah, this is where we kind of learn about Brent really a little bit. And I feel a bit sorry for Keith. He's asked to give his motivation and he's sort of kind of unearthing a bit of himself really, Keith, isn't he? He's telling us about his, you know, his dreams and what he wants to do.
Yeah, considering before he seems to be quite a boring, monotone kind of fella, and inside he's this rock star.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just waiting to get out. the way that Brent not being happy with Keith's answer kind of cuts him off by
shuts him straight down, doesn't
saying, it? Been there, done that, got t-shirt, next.
Next.
Filled in the questions that are being asked.
And yeah, basically then that it's centre stage Brent again, isn't it then? He's getting all the questions. People are... it's interesting that he's not actually... That seems to be the first time that they learnt he was in a band. He's not let that on before in the office. You'd think, knowing his character, he would have...
That's a great point.
Would have been shouting that.
Yeah, you'd have thought he'd mentioned it at some point, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Big rock star.
Yeah, and I get all this, oh, David, you know, you're a brilliant singer-songwriter. You're stuck in Slough. While it's Texas that are off, you know, making all the money. You know, and they're rubbish compared to you. And I go, don't slag them off.
So, we've learnt that Brent is now this... this rock star, and it kind of underpins his character and becomes basically him, isn't it, really? When you think Brent, you think, go get the guitar.
Yeah, rock star.
Absolutely.
Great
singer-songwriter, you know, frontman. I can see him being a frontman. That's nailed on, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
That was probably where he would be. Yeah. But he's, you know, he's not jealous of Texas going out there and getting all the glory, so to speak.
No, they're welcome to it.
Yeah. Don't slag them off.
We're both good in our own fields. I'm sure Texas couldn't run and manage a successful paper merchants. Yeah, I couldn't, you know, I could do what they do. And I think they knew that even back then. Probably what spurred them on.
And that's it now, isn't it, really? Session over. We basically turned into an audience with David Brent.
It's Brent's concert now, isn't it?
One of those intimate sessions.
Yeah.
He went home to get it. The guitar.
It's that thing where, although it is cringy in a lot of ways, from a realistic point of view, it is very, very good.
The music is good, isn't it?
It's something that we'll come on to far down the line, but...
Far down the line.
Yeah, if we make it that far. There,
yeah.
But...
Don't know how far it is.
But we love the music, don't we?
Yeah.
So with the album, we both have it on all the time. Some of the songs on there are genius. So without getting too far ahead, the film largely based on Brent actually achieving his dream of going on tour, and the music in that, magnificent. It's the only word I can use.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's, you know, it's supposed to be comedy, but musically it's very, very good. And I enjoy it for its musical values, not so, just for the comedy lyrics about topics that probably shouldn't be sung about.
Yeah, I mean, she hugged a man with full-blown AIDS. but yeah, regardless of that, I think even if you didn't know who Ricky Gervais was or the Brent character, if you just heard the album, you could reasonably say it's not bad, really.
It's all right. Yeah. A bit cringeworthy, but... Yeah.
And I think, without trying to lick his ass too much, that's kind of a testament to Ricky Gervais, really.
Oh, love me.
Pathetic. But, I mean, he's a... From the comedy, the writing...
And yeah, musically.
It's...
Well, that was his thing before, wasn't it, I think? Yeah. He was in a band, wasn't he?
The new romantic type thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, a bit David Bowie. Is it Shona Dancing? Wasn't in a band?
Good knowledge if that's true.
I'm pretty sure that's true, but... I'm gonna go 8%. That's right. I think myself.
It sounds familiar. But yeah.
If you know, get in touch.
So on a side note, I've got a question for you. Brent mentions that he was supported once by Texas. Now I want to know. Texas is the largest state in America.
Good, nice link.
What number is higher? The population of the American state Texas, or album sales by the band Texas? I'll give you a clue. The population of Texas is
not going to be as much as you think, I don't reckon. Texas population?
28,701,845.
Texas had a few, bit of a following, didn't they? Had a few good tracks. I think that there would have been more album sales.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I couldn't find an exact answer, but what I could find is that Texas have sold over 40 million albums.
Yeah, that was about where I was basing it on.
Funnily enough, most of them were bought in Texas.
Yeah.
Fair play to them. I knew Texas were pretty big, but yeah, good on them.
Yeah, can you name a Texas song?
No.
I was struggling. no offence, Texas.
It was a Charlene Spiteri or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, Spitz.
Yeah, I can't remember any
that's
of the
what, songs. I think that's what her mates called her.
Spitty.
Shazzy Spitz.
Shazzy Spitz. I think that was in a porn film.
Cut.
Pretty girl on the hood of a Cadillac, yeah. Broken down on Freeway 9. Take a look at her engine started. Leave a purr and then I roll on by, bye bye. Free love on the free love freeway. The love is free and the freeway's long. I got some hot love on the hot love highway. Ain't going home cause my baby's gone. She's not dead.
One thing that you find with a lot of Brent songs is they generally all tend to be about love, don't they?
Yeah.
In one way or another. You know, you've got...
He's a poet.
You've got Lady Gypsy.
Ain't No Trouble.
Yeah. He's got a back catalogue of absolute bangers.
Bangers.
And then I love with this one because it seemingly is a sort of song that needs that video to really get across.
Get the message out there.
Tim's comment that... It sounds a little bit gay.
Tim's bang on, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult to know without the image.
Yeah.
There. So, fair enough.
Well, why the tears, he says, because none of them was you.
What, you?
No, he's looking at a photograph.
Of you?
No, of his girlfriend. The video would have shown up.
Yeah, he sounds a bit gay at the moment.
It's not gay.
No.
Right, that's lunch.
How was your lunch, mate? All right?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, what's the vibe in the second half of this pod?
I think the wheels are coming off, frankly.
Well, Dawn is talking about leaving. I think Tim's getting fed up. And Rowan, Rowan's ready to break, isn't he?
Yeah, he's absolutely fuming. Tim, to be fair, looks like he's absolutely heartbroken at the idea of Dawn leaving.
I know,
he's
yeah.
He's really shocked.
I think Dawn's probably the only thing that's keeping him there, really, isn't it?
Oh, for sure.
It's not the job, is it?
No. We go into the team task, and Tim and Gareth put together.
Paired up.
Who would have thought? and they start talking about the problem with the fox and the chicken, super chicken.
Super chicken.
And the grain.
Had you ever been given this problem before you'd seen The Office? Probably not.
Probably not before I've seen The Office, but in various guises. It might not be a fox, it might be something else, but a similar sort of task like this anyway. Yeah, it's the same old cliche bollocks that you get at these things.
Well, yeah, because my thoughts are, what kind of chicken can sort of, like, how are they the same size? What's this boat where the chicken is the same size as the fox? Surely you just get all three in there.
Okay, you can't take the grain first, because you can't leave the fox and the chicken together.
Fox and the chicken together? Bloodbath?
Yeah, I know. You can't leave the chicken with the grain.
Hello, I'm a chicken. Thank you, Tim, for leaving me with my favourite food.
Yes, I was saying, Gareth, you can't do that, all right?
Well, how big is this chicken? It's the same size as a bag of grain.
I don't know, big chicken.
Yeah, how big?
Big, it's a super chicken.
Mm. What's a farmer doing with a fox? Fox is a farmer's worst enemy. He should just drown the fox in the river.
Gareth, it's a puzzle. You know, it's just a puzzle.
Yeah, well, it's stupid. It doesn't mean anything. What are we learning from this?
It's not about learning. It's just a problem to be solved.
Put the grain on a wall.
It's not a wall.
There's always walls.
Not either, isn't.
Well, it's just nothing. It's just a farm and a river. Get his wife to help.
He ain't got a wife.
All farmers have wives.
Not this one. He's gay.
Well, then he shouldn't be allowed near animals, should he?
Again, following on from Super Chicken. Again, I always do my research.
Yep.
And I want you to tell me, what is the world's heaviest chicken? Is it A, 23 pounds, 3 ounces, B, 25 pounds, 5 ounces, or C, 27 pounds, 7 ounces?
Are there any sort of standards that would mean it's still a chicken? It's not, because there are those big fucking chickens, aren't there?
Fucking chickens.
I don't know why I saw that. Fucking big chickens.
Weird websites in here.
Yeah, the ones that they actually look like they're people dressed up as a chicken.
My source verified that it is indeed a chicken.
I'm gonna find the link to those chickens and tweet that out at the end, so so everyone can see what I mean. But for your super chicken quiz, I will go with, was it 23 pounds? Something like that?
23 pounds, 3 ounces, 25, 5, or 27,
7. 23, I mean, that's big, isn't it? I think I'm going to go 25 pounds.
You should have gone with your first instinct. It's 23 pounds. 23 pounds, 3 ounces.
I mean, That's a good sized chicken.
It's not a bad chicken at all, is it?
What would that cost you, butchers?
I was just thinking I should have looked that
what
up.
What would that cost you in monkey meat?
So, Gareth, after the task answer's been revealed, he's got some questions.
Well, we heard it in there. He's not happy with the setup of the puzzle.
No, he's not happy with the sizes, is he?
he's got a point.
He's right to be curious.
Yeah.
I'm with him on that.
Well, if it's supposed to be a logical thinking, critical thinking quiz, asking those questions is probably
a sign of a genius.
A plus. Yeah.
I'm not entirely.
Probably why we get on. Similar.
I'm not entirely sure I agree with his gay farmers shouldn't be allowed near animals.
No, good point. We do need to say that. Yeah.
We don't condone bestiality, but at the same time, we don't judge.
There's no proof that all farmers do that to their animals.
Not all of them.
No, some definitely do that, don't they?
But we also see that Dawn's made up with Lee, which we see that outside. So the guys in the actual, in the session, they don't see that yet.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a
key plot point.
Yeah. I mean, we see later on that Tim kind of makes a bit of a tit of himself.
Yeah, he's had enough.
But, I mean, the main thing here is Rowan going on about is the meaning and the relevance of the task, and then Brent just over talking it.
It kind of comes to a head, doesn't it, Brent? Again, basically, yeah, just and grinds that, Rowan down.
Yeah, he starts talking about the a bit like as I was saying about my training today, when he starts asking about the if everyone in the team's pulling together and focused on the same objective, and then Gareth comes out with bones, and then David talks about this bone fable, but Tim gets it right, just saying, you know, it's everyone's pulling in the right direction, it's better for all of us.
Yeah,
it's that's the right thing to say, let's move on. Yeah, that's how I felt earlier at my training.
Yeah, we've got the answer. Yeah, let's just crack on, we know what it is,
it's obvious, come on, let's get on with it.
Did you manage to ask, or did anyone ask any questions that the trainer didn't know? Were you able to drop her? Oh,
I didn't phase her, I'm afraid.
Don't you know?
It's like the fable, you know, the one where the dog's got a bone and he goes down to the lake to get a drink and he sees his reflection and he goes, oh, that dog's got a better bone than mine, I think I'll have his as well. And when he opens his mouth to get the bone that's a reflection, he drops the real bone and he loses both.
And what's that got to do with this?
It's what Gareth was saying about if we've got our bones, don't go for other people's bones, fight over because you lose your own.
What does that mean?
Oh, do you know?
I thought it was bones.
And it's at this point that I think Bones has probably tipped Tim over the edge, hasn't it?
Bones have, done him.
He has his moment where he says, right, that's it, can't do it anymore. Handing his notice, he quits. And I don't blame him. This session alone, I think, would have tipped me over the edge.
I think so. It reminds me, I think that might have been the birth of, you know, the Australian guy when he resigns that goes around YouTube and memes a lot. That's it, I'm resigning. Fuck off, everyone. Oh, I love it, and it always reminds me of that.
So you're going to have to tweet that
as well. I'll have to tweet that as well. A few tweets to make.
Yeah, I mean, Rowan's the same. Rowan says, right, fuck
fuck
this.
Off, I'm resigning.
He's off. Everyone's in a little bit of shock, then Tim comes back. He
sidles back in.
He obviously didn't see that Lee and Dawn had made up.
That's awful.
And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cringe in this episode, but that's one of the kind of heartwarming cringes, because you're rooting for him, aren't you? But you just know that he's going to get shot down.
It's as friends, just go for a drink as friends. That's what he meant.
He has styled it out very well, though, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anyone noticed.
No, it's pretty cool.
He hastily makes his way out again to a bit of stunned silence.
Have you ever just upped and left, or thought of, that's it, I'm going?
Oh, several times I've thought about it, but I've never actually done it.
Never quite done it.
No.
I think it's normally too important, isn't it?
I suppose it kind of leaves everything a little bit up in the air, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen in the next one? Is Dawn going to leave? What's happening with Tim?
Yeah. Will he come back?
Will the team be motivated? Will they be able to work out their problems, bones?
Or they've got anything out of the training day? I'm sure Rowan was on some good bunts for a day's training, so is that all going to go to waste?
Must have been.
Especially when Brent's being scrutinised for his budgets, redundancies. It's not gone well. So what have we learnt?
I think this is...
Give me your feedback. How was the training? How was the session? What can I improve
on? That's another thing you have to do.
How was my podcast, Steve?
After you've done these training sessions, there's always a fucking flip chart. Can you get some post-it notes? And can you put up here one thing I did well, one thing that could have improved on, and then a suggestion for next time? Every single time.
Yeah, suggestion for next time. Don't come.
Yeah.
Things you did well. Not a lot.
Oh, but everyone always just puts, it's brilliant, nothing I could improve on. It's a complete waste of time.
Well, if you can improve a session, then you should be doing the training, surely.
Yeah, exactly. Just trying to take their job. I think as for the episode, it was, I think, only below the specials for the most popular on IMDb.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
You can easily see why. It's a personal favourite. You'll probably be able to tell from the amount of clips in the pod. And there's several that we couldn't get. Yeah, it's so quotable. I think that's gives it the longevity of anything.
Yeah, for the hardcore fans, I think this is where they, yeah, a lot of the kind of material's coming from, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of quotes. A lot. Basically, it can be used in most scenarios as well.
Well, these are all things that, if you follow us on Twitter, you'll see we use things like these all the time. Out of office pod _, by the way.
Good, like it.
But yeah.
You'll be seeing massive chickens and clips of people resigning. So
yeah, what more do you want?
Look forward to that.
But yeah, fantastic stuff.
Big favourite of mine this episode. I think we're starting to see them kind of falling apart a bit now. The relationship seems to be breaking down.
It's all gone a little bit pear-shaped. But hopefully what hasn't gone pear-shaped is our pod.
We'll find out.
Yeah, please let us know. Good or bad. Mostly good if possible, please.
Yeah, just that I'm listening.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah, get in touch. We want to hear from you. Keep saying, we've had some fantastic stuff coming already. The Kettle's Over the Pub, Danny this week has absolutely smashed it. So we want to hear more from you. I just want to give a quick shout out as well to Wes, old Wes Frith on Twitter. Him and his missus.
RH.
Big supporters, yeah. Well, they say they're supporters. They get involved anyway. That's enough for us.
Yeah, definitely.
So Wes Frith, top man.
Hi, Wes.
And your missus, our Rach. Yeah, legends. Keep up the good work.
Love it. Steve, go and get the guitar. Free love on the freeway. The love is free and the freeway's long.